All right, so you really got me going down a rabbit hole with this one. Hyperreality. Whoa.
It's pretty mind-bending stuff.
It is. So we're looking at how power really works, like really works, when the world is so obsessed with images and information and simulation, right? It's like we're trying to grab something real, but it feels like everything's a reflection of something else.
It's a hole of mirrors.
It really is. And our unfortunate guide, in a way, for this wild ride is Jean Baudrillard.
Right.
This French philosopher. And, you know, I had to do a little brushing up on this one.
Sure.
But he's the one who coined the term hyperreality.
Yeah.
And basically, from what I understand, he's arguing that we're living in a world now where signs and simulations, like think social media, branding, this 24-hour news cycle, they actually feel more real than the actual experiences they're supposed to represent.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're being bombarded with information constantly, and it gets hard to tell what's genuine, what's like a manufactured experience.
Totally. So can you give me an example? Like, how does this hyper-reality actually play out in our daily lives?
Well, just think about something like celebrity culture for a second, or like even how we experience a major news event.
Yeah.
We're experiencing it through these filters, through social media feeds and curated news, all these constructed narratives, and this constant flow of information, which is often stripped of any real context, any nuance, creates this feeling of detachment. You're detached from the actual events themselves.
Right. It's like we're just bombarded with news all the time. It's almost impossible to figure out what's actually true or what really matters.
And that's what Baudrillard called the implosion of meaning.
Implosion of meaning. That sounds pretty intense.
Well, yeah, because we're being bombarded with all these simulated experiences, these representations of reality, and the traditional sources of meaning, those start to kind of disintegrate.
Okay.
You know, authority figures, institutions, even just our own sense of like, what's true?
So if meaning is sort of dissolving in this hyper-real world, how does actual power work? It can't just be about, like, brute force anymore, can it?
No, you're right. It's way more complex than that. Power in this hyper-real world, it's all about controlling and shaping these narratives, these simulations that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Think about politicians for a second.
Okay.
They've become brands. They're these very carefully crafted images that are designed to trigger emotions, associations in the audience.
Yeah, it's all about the image, the slogan, you know, the perfectly staged photo op.
Exactly. And Baudrillard argued that institutions, they kind of exploit this allure of the hyperreal, this fascination with spectacle, to mask their own lack of real power.
So you're saying all the political theater, the debates, the elections, the promises, it's all just a big distraction from what's really happening.
It's not always about intentional deception, you know, it's about how our perceptions are being shaped and manipulated in this hyper-real environment.
Right.
We're presented with this illusion of choice, right? Like, we have control, but actually the real mechanisms of power are operating behind the scenes.
It's like we're all playing this game with rules we don't even understand, and the people in power are holding all the cards.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this hyper-reality thing, it's not just politics, right? Like, I feel it seeping into every part of our lives. Like, take consumerism, for instance. We're constantly being told that we need to buy this product, wear this brand, or own that gadget to be happy or to be successful or even to be considered normal.
Right, and consumerism really thrives in this hyper-real world because it feeds off of our desire for these simulated experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
These images of who we should be, what we should want, they're so carefully constructed.
It's like we're all just trying to curate this perfect online persona, and then that simulated version of ourselves starts messing with our real desires, you know, and our anxieties.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so seductive and so dangerous, because you can get caught up in this cycle of just chasing simulated experiences, manufactured desires, and never finding any kind of real fulfillment.
So how do we even find those authentic experiences, those genuine connections, when it feels like everything's a simulation? Like, are we just doomed to wander around in this hyper-real haze forever?
Not necessarily. The key is to become aware of it, you know?
Okay.
Learn to decode the signs and the symbols that are shaping how you see the world.
Okay.
It's about questioning the narratives you're being given and actively looking for real connection and meaning beyond that, beyond the simulation.
That makes sense. But how do we actually do that? I mean, where do you even start looking for these authentic experiences when we're surrounded by these simulations?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. Baudrillard talked about something called symbolic exchange.
Sure.
As a way to challenge the hyperreal.
Symbolic exchange. Okay, now you're using big words again. No, it's good. It's good. But what does that even mean? Give me an example. Like, what does that look like in the real world?
Think of it as like shaking things up, disrupting the system, introducing a bit of chaos into that carefully ordered hyper-reality. It's about taking back some of our agency, our ability to make meaning and find value outside of these prepackaged experiences we're sold all the time. And that can look like a million different things. It could be art that challenges the status quo. It could be acts of generosity and kindness that place human connection above material possessions, you know?
So it's like finding ways to kind of poke holes in the simulated reality, remind ourselves and other people that there's more to life than just these curated experiences.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming our ability to think critically, to question what we're told, and to create our own meaning in a world that's saturated by manufactured
Okay,
experience.
yeah, so symbolic exchange, I think I'm starting to get it. It's like a way to kind of reclaim some of that authenticity, right? But I need something a little more concrete. I'm a show me kind of learner, you know
Okay,
what
sure. Think about street art.
I mean?
It often takes these corporate symbols and advertising, the very elements of the hyperreal, and it like recontextualizes them and gives them a whole new meaning. And it's a way to like reclaim public space, start conversations, challenge those dominant narratives we were talking about.
Like Banksy. His work is all about questioning things, right?
Just like the value we put on material stuff, or how we just blindly follow authority.
Yes. He's a perfect example of symbolic exchange in action, right?
Yeah.
Because his art disrupts your expectations. It kind of jolts you out of your comfort zone. And it forces you to confront just how absurd this hyper-reality can be.
It's like he's holding up this funhouse mirror to society, and you see these distorted reflections. It reveals the cracks in the system.
Yeah, and that's what's so powerful about it. It's not about providing easy answers or telling you what to do. It's about making space to think critically, you know, to question the status quo, to imagine other ways of being in the world.
This is blowing my mind, but let's go back to the sources for a sec. Didn't you say that they also talked about how technology plays into this whole hyperreality thing?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, technology is like crucial in shaping and reinforcing hyperreality. And the sources that you sent, they dive into some really interesting examples of this, like virtual reality, the rise of deepfakes, even just the fact that the line between human intelligence and artificial intelligence is getting blurrier and blurrier.
Yeah, it's like that Black Mirror episode. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Sure.
Yeah, where everybody's obsessed with these virtual reality experiences.
Right.
And they're just so much more, I don't know, vivid and engaging than real life. But hopefully less dystopian.
Hopefully. But, you know, Baudrillard was writing about all of this stuff way before Black Mirror.
Yeah, that's true.
But the point is, he predicted how technology would just pull us deeper into this hyper reality to the point where we can't tell what's real and what's simulated.
And that's where it gets kind of scary, right? Like, what happens to our sense of self? What happens to our connection to what's real when we're plugged into these simulated worlds all the time?
Well, that's a question that philosophers have been wrestling with forever.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's even more urgent now because of how we're living. And the sources you said, they actually use, I think it's Crash by J.G. Ballard to look at this.
Oh, yeah.
And fair warning, it's intense.
Crash is a wild ride. It's a, I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say it explores this really interesting and kind of messed up intersection between technology and desire and the human body.
Yeah, and that's what's so fascinating about it, you know, and unsettling. It forces you to think about the ways that technology is already changing our desires, our relationships, even just our basic understanding of what it means to be human.
It's like that one scene, maybe I shouldn't spoil it, but
Right.
it made me think about like my own relationship with my phone and even my car, actually, which is kind of weird.
That's the whole point, though. These examples, even if they seem extreme, they challenge us to think about these potentially dehumanizing aspects of living in this hyper-real world. They remind us that technology can be used to manipulate us and control us. It can even cut us off from our own humanity.
So it's not about technology being good or bad, it's how we use it, what's driving it.
Exactly. It's a tool, and like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad. The challenge is being aware of how it's being used to shape our perceptions, our desires, ultimately, you know, our realities.
So how do we do that? How do we navigate this relationship with technology, which is getting more and more complicated all the time, without just getting sucked into the hyper-real?
It starts with awareness, just like we've been saying.
Yeah.
It's about becoming more conscious of the information that we're taking in, being more critical thinkers, you know, and just being more discerning about how we participate in this digital world.
That's a lot easier said than done. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with information and notifications and these perfectly curated experiences that are meant to keep us hooked.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
It takes effort. It takes discipline. And it takes being willing to question the status quo. But it's possible, definitely. There are absolutely things that we can do as individuals and as a society to resist this pull of the hyper-real and take back some of our agency in this world that's so driven by technology.
Okay, like what? Give me the good stuff. How do we unplug from the matrix?
One of the most important things is to develop something called media literacy.
So media literacy, it's like we need to develop a BS detector for the digital age, right?
Exactly. And it's not just about being skeptical, right?
Mm.
You have to actively seek out different viewpoints, engage with information that challenges what you think you know, and be open to changing your mind if you see evidence that contradicts what you thought was true.
So basically, just be really curious and don't just take the first version of a story you find as the absolute truth.
Right. Be an active participant in figuring out how you see the world. Don't just accept whatever narrative is being presented to you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but it also feels kind of overwhelming. It's not like they teach hyper-reality 101 in school.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. It's definitely not always easy to figure this stuff out on your own, so it's really important to find your people, your community.
Yeah.
Connect with others who are also trying to figure out these big questions and trying to live authentically in this hyper-real world.
So find your people, those kindred spirits who are also just trying to stay afloat in this sea of simulations.
Yes, exactly. Having that support system makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because when we feel connected to other people, when we can talk about our experiences and support each other through it, it becomes a little bit easier to resist that pull of the hyper-real. Mm-hmm. We can start creating spaces where genuine connection and meaning can exist,
Yeah. You
know?
That's actually really encouraging because, I mean, yeah, we're talking about some pretty intense philosophical stuff, but it really comes down to something that's actually very simple, which is human connection.
Absolutely, because no matter how seductive or immersive hyper-reality becomes, it can never fully replace the real thing. The real thing is so much more rich and complex.
So as we're all trying to navigate this increasingly hyper-real world, how do we keep those connections with other people strong? How do we make sure that we're not just, you know, trading likes and followers online, but actually building meaningful relationships in the real world?
Be mindful of how you're spending your time and energy.
Okay.
Are you glued to your devices all the time, scrolling through feeds that leave you feeling kind of empty and inadequate? Or are you setting aside time for those face-to-face interactions, for real conversations, shared experiences, the things that nourish your soul?
Yeah, sometimes you just need to put the phone down, step away from the screens. It's easier said than done, but it sounds like it's really important.
It is. We need to do those things if we want to have any chance of resisting the hyper-real and taking back our ability to have those genuine connections, to find meaning and create a life that's actually our own.
This whole conversation has been a serious eye-opener for sure. So if our listeners only take away one thing from our deep dive today, what would you want it to be?
Remember that you have a choice. You have the power to decide how you engage with the world, how you filter the information that's coming at you, and what values are important to you. Don't let hyper-reality write the script of your life.
Love that. And to all our listeners, keep questioning, keep connecting, and keep searching for those authentic experiences. Until next time, stay curious.